وذكرا محافظا وطاهرا وناصرا وذليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه ارضك الدوام وتمتعه فيها طويلا.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد.
It's the glorious wasiyya of Ali al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wassalam to his son Imam Mujtaba alayhi salam. Initially, Imam started with the basic instructions, and the first of it was observing taqwa of Allah. And then Imam talked about him having a developed heart. And then Imam says to cling to the God of Allah, and it was defined as to that is to be Ahlul Bayt. It is the Quran and everything which ends up to Allah Jalla wa Ala, that is that strong God of Allah, but it is the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. And then Imam talked about the heart and says that this heart of yours, it is like a wild animal, you have to tame it. Only then will you be able to ride on it, mount on it. So for that part, Imam says initially you have to give life to it, then says kill it, then says strengthen it, then says enlighten it, then says make it wretched. How and all these different ways were mentioned. Now Imam says, وَعَرِدْ عَلَيْهِ أَخْبَارَ الْمَاضِينَ, that is, inform this heart of yours of the bygones. That is, those who had lived here on this earth. Remind your heart that these people also lived here on this planet and they have passed away. So when you constantly keep your heart reminding of who, of the history of this universe, of those who had stepped into this planet and those who departed, that way this heart will be tamed. Will be under control, under constant observation. And then says, وَذَكِّرْهُ بِمَا أَصَابَ مَنْ كَانَ قَبْلَكَ مِنَ الْأَوَّلِينَ. And then says, inform your heart of what has happened before you, مِنَ الْأَوَّلِينَ, that is the foremost, the people of the early days. And then says, وَسِّرْ فِي دِيَارِهِمْ وَعْتَبِرْ آثَارًا, and learn from the signs that have remained from them, travel to their lands, وَسِرْ فِي آثَارِهِمْ مِنْ دِيَارِهِمْ, you travel to their places, go and see, for example, the palaces which they lived in, how they dwelt, the riches, the wealth which they were flourished with, and after all they ended up in that hole and under that dirt in their graves. وَنْظُرْ مَا فَعَلُوا, and then see what they did during their time. وَعَيْنَ حَلُّوا وَنَزَلُوا, and then you come and see that, where did they end and where have they settled? They have settled in their graves. And then Imam says, وَعَمَّنْ اِنْتَقَلُوا فَإِنَّكَ تَجِدُهُمْ قَدْ اِنْتَقَلُوا عَلَى الْأَحِبَّةِ, says they also, like you and me, they were living on this earth. They also had loved ones like you and me. So they too have departed from all those loved ones and they have ended up into their graves. وَكِعَنَّكَ عَنْ قَلِيمٍ قَدْ سِرْتَكَ أَحَدِهِمْ, Imam says, very soon, Hassan, you too also will be one of them. That is, you too will be one of the participants in the graves and the hereafter. So they have settled in a deserted, lonely place, and surely you will be one of them. So correct your abode. Quran recognizes that this dunya is just a transit area. We are not to live here. We have come here to buy that eternal life, and that eternal life will be either in the hell or the heaven. As it was mentioned repeatedly, the price of man is the heaven. And that price has to be sought and maintained until we depart from this dunya. Says that, قُلْ سِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ فَانْظُرُوا كَيْفَ كَانَ عَاقِبَةُ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلُ, that is, on this planet, on this land of Allah, you travel. Travel and see what has happened to those who lived here and where they have ended. Now, quite a few things Imam mentions in this glorious wasiyya. One of them is that the ups and downs that we have in this life, normally it is not as such that a person will live a life of misery and illness all the time. In normal circumstances, that is, it is not designed as such by Allah that a person lives in a miserable way from the day one he has stepped into this world until the day he departs. Nor is it as such that he will be in complete comfort from the first day until he dies. Normally it is not as such. Events, incidents would unfold, they are not important as well. It may so happen that you may find people, they are flourished with all types of comforts and wealth in abundance. It doesn't mean that they have achieved something. You may also see that there are students, there are people who succeed in their life, always successful. Even that success of theirs is not permanent. Nothing in this dunya is permanent. Neither their success is permanent, neither their livelihood is permanent. All that is temporary and it is for just a short term. That what is permanent is the life of the hereafter. That is abad. That is forever. A board which Quran talks about, tilka darul akhirah. Quran recognizes akhirah as our home. Doesn't say this is our home. Dunya is never a home for anyone. Dunya is just a passing place. If we have come here, we will pass. So attachments to this dunya, the more we have, the more we get stuck, and from the aim that we have, which is the hereafter, we will be kept aside. For example, to understand this in simple words, someone who wishes to go for Hajj, aim is that we want to go for Hajj, perform the tawaf, get closer to Allah, and come back with our sins washed away. But what is happening nowadays? All these luxury packs we have for Hajj, luxury packs we have for ziyarat. So someone who wants these luxury packs, 5-star hotels, 7-star hotels in Hajj and Umrah, he will be focused only to that luxury and comfort. He will be moved away from his actual aim, which is Hajj. If he goes there, he wants to have a nice hotel, nice cool place, nice coaches, buses, air conditioned with screens and everything. So the ultimate aim would become this. When that is not the case, teaching of Allah is that you come to my house, you perform your Hajj, not come to a 5-star hotel and look at that big bend there. No. That is not the case. The same thing is with this Akhirah. Teaching is that you focus towards the Akhirah, you will get towards the Akhirah, to the Akhirah. If you focus to this dunya too much, you will be left aside from that Akhirah. That is a simple way to understand what exactly this means. So, events that take place in this dunya, if you find someone, he is very successful, there's nothing to worry, there's nothing to be to panic that why, how come he succeeded and you did not. If you find someone, he is well off in all his businesses and in all his plans, that too is nothing great. Today he is like that, tomorrow he won't be. So whatever we have been blessed by Allah, we have to be content with that destiny of Allah. And if you look into that hadith of Mi'raj, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ascends to the heavens of Allah Jalla wa Ala, he teaches the Prophet. Rasulullah inquires the first question, says, Ya Rab, ayyul a'mali afdal, which is the best act? Among all of these actions, which action is the best? In reply, Allah says, Laysa shay'un indi afdalu min at-tawakkuli alayhi wa ridha bima qasamt. There is nothing better than relying upon me and being content with the destiny. This destiny which Allah has designed for each one of us, it's different. Sometimes it is in our favor, sometimes it is against us. So if it is against us, it doesn't mean that Allah He is being harsh with us. No. He is all kind. And we've been talking for the past few days that the mercy of Allah, grace of Allah, favors of Allah, kindness of Allah, that is always on the top. And it was mentioned, even this Dua Joshan Kabir, 1001 names of Allah, just a few talk about the punishments, wrath, and Allah's Jalal. All the rest, they talk about the beauty and the Jamal of Allah Jalla Jalala. So one does not need to lose hope or get proud. If you find someone, he is blessed with every blessing. If you find him that he is successful in his life, there's nothing to be proud. There is nothing to worry. There have been many drowned in more blessings than us, seen more successes than what we see, but neither of their possessions nor their successes ever endure forever. Now, even today, if you look into the past, there have been people who were so much successful. Has anything remained from them? Nothing. All the riches which they possessed, nothing has remained from them. For example, Qarun, the richest person of his time. He was so rich that Quran says to carry the keys of his treasures, he had a team of weightlifters. Now these weightlifters were there to carry the trunks of the keys. Now the treasure is somewhere else. Such a rich person with all the wealth, and one day he wanted to portray and boast in front of his nation that what he possesses. He says, I'll have procession so that people see what exactly I have. Hundreds of horses, thousands of elephants, all of them were brought together, and he laid them with all his riches and wealth, and then to show the people what exactly he possesses. And that Allah did not like. It was mentioned yesterday, usul al-kufr, badaha, that is the basis of kufr. There are three. The first is arrogance, kibr. And Allah doesn't like kibr. Kibr belongs to Allah. Well, kibriya, ridahu. Kibriya is that cloak and the platen of Allah, Jalla Jalala. On the dawn of Eid, the day of Eid, we recite Allahumma ahl al-kibriya wal-adaha. It is only Allah to whom this kibriya, kibr, pride befits, to no one else. When he comes out to show to the people what he possesses, the riches and the wealth, Allah doesn't like that. The land opens and just gobbles him and everything he was perished by. So he also existed. Has anything remained from him? Nothing. So successes in this dunya, they don't remain. Wealth and riches in this dunya, they don't remain. That what remains is وَيَبْقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ. That is the presence of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, and everything which is attached to Allah, that is forever, that will endure forever. Therefore, we must not cling or have hopes in all these blessings which others possess. One of the issues which we must give a lot of importance to is this concept of ghasb. Ghasb is one of the most common, very dangerous sins which is committed by a lot. And this is one of those sins which just ruins whatever we have in this dunya and also ruins the hereafter, the akhirah of ours. I'll quote you some incidents as to what exactly is being mentioned here. First of all, let's see what ghasb means. Ghasb means to usurp. Definition that we have is al-ghasb. أَخْذُ الشَّيْءِ ذُلْمًا, that is, you take, seize away something which belongs to someone else, I seize it away from him by force, by oppression. And then this oppression is open, and then what I do is that, استيلاء على حق غير بلا حق. And the person who usurps this, he puts himself on top as he becomes the rightful owner. But he is not the rightful owner, he doesn't own it, nor that right does he possess. So he seizes something away from someone and becomes its rightful owner. That is ghasb. And for ghasb, we find in الروايات يقول البروفيت صلى الله عليه واله وسلم says that من سلك شبرا من ارض that is one who usurps a thing in qiyama like a collar it will be hung on his neck. Now in this hadith he says that one who usurps a span of a piece of land belonging to another, that land, seven levels of it will be hung onto the neck of the collar of this one person. That burden of the ghasl is going to be there. Now what exactly this ghasl means? Now the common practice or the common sin which is committed is, for example, if someone passes away and he leaves behind a property, a land. If he has children and he hasn't performed any wasiyya, any will, then it has to be distributed equally according to the Sharia. That is, the sons would get twice the amount of the land or whatever has remained. The girl would get one share, the boy would get two shares. So that is how it has to be distributed. If the person dies, there wasn't a wasiyya, and there are children over here, if one of these children, assuming five children are there, one of them is not willing to utilize the property in the way as to what the four are willing to do, that becomes ghasl. Because his rizā, his pleasure is not there, so none of them can use that property. It has to be disposed, and the share of every person has to be given to them, only then will that become lawful. If someone comes and says that we've got 1,000 meters of a land, I'll just sit in one corner, which is my share, and the rest of it, you can do whatever you want, it doesn't work that way. That one piece of land, 1,000 meters, all of it is ghasl. In every centimeter of it, all five of them have a share. We can't say that one corner of that would be mine, the others, whatever you want to do with the other piece, it doesn't work that way. Now this is assuming that those who have remained are all grown-ups, baligh, mature. If one of the waratha is a minor, is not baligh, then that property automatically goes into ghasl. Unless you get the permission of a mujtahid or his wakil, and then you can do the dealing of the property. If there is a minor involved in this property, in the heirs of this property, then that is one of those very dangerous situations. Now if a property is classified as ghasl, you cannot go there. You cannot perform wuzu in that property. If you say, do your wuzu is batil. You cannot pray in that property. And the teaching is that you don't go there, because it's ghasl. So we have to be very careful. Now when it comes to wasiyya, many a times people say that the wasiyya of this person, the deceased, was that part of this land be given to X, part of that be given to Y, and part of that to Z. Now when this was the wasiyya of that person who has passed away, if she or he had disposed the property while she was alive, that is, she had given out the property to what she wanted to do, you give out to, that's fine. If he or she did not do that, then that wasiyya is not valid. So either a wasi, he accepts it, there are witnesses present over there, that this is what her will is, and this is how it should be carried out. And if that will is not there, that wasiyya is not there, and also there are no witnesses who have accepted what the claim was, then it has to be distributed according to Sharia. That is, it has to be distributed between the sons and daughters, whoever are remaining from that person. And if that is not done, then the property, it's ghasl. So we have to be careful when it comes to issues like ghasl. That now, I'll quote you an incident. Marhum Ayatullah Waheed Behbahani, one of the great ulama, rahmatullah alayhi, living in Iraq. He comes for tabligh for the month, for example, the month of Ramadan, or the city or the town he was living in. There, it was something like this month of Ramadan, the lecture was being given, and as it is the trend, we pray for the hastening of the return of the Imam. Now he finishes his lecture and then he says, Allah, delay in the return of your Wali. Don't send him right now. People present in that majlis, they stood and said, what is this? We've been praying for his safe return, hastening for his quick return, and then you say for him not to come. What is all this? There was a big mess in the mosque. They kicked that sheikh out of it, out of that masjid. That is, what is all this? And then the khadim of that masjid, he comes and rolls the prayer mat and said, look at us, we've been praying behind him. He wants the imam not to come. He was kicked out of the mosque, comes home, shuts the door. Early in the morning, before Fajr, someone is knocking at the door. Now he says, definitely they want to kick me out of the town. He didn't open the door. It was that khadim. He says, open the door, it's me, I've come to say sorry to you. I promise I won't do anything, I won't hurt you. He says, okay, open the door. What happened? He says, after we came back from that masjid, I slept. I had a dream, I saw that Imam Anas has arrived. And it is this very mosque where you were delivering this khutbah, this seven, the lectures. And I was there with the Imam. Imam, being in his presence, I was extremely happy. And then Imam says, hey you, this carpet present in your house, roll it and put it aside. It's not your property, it's us. You haven't paid the khums of it, so you cannot use it, it's mine. He says, a first shock. Imam has come and his carpet is rolled. Then says, this house that you are living in, it's not yours. The previous generation or whatever it was, says, it wasn't distributed in the right way as Sharia says, so this property also is ghasb, you cannot stay here. Eviction notice that you have to leave now. So two, three incidents like that took place, and then he says to the Imam, it was much better, you can go back to where you were. And then he says, this is what I saw in my dreams. That is, I said to the Imam, go back to where you were. So what the Shaykh said was right, that we are not ready to accept the Imam. The judgments of the Imam are such, that is, if Imam was to judge in that way, can we tolerate the Imam? It's going to be difficult, extremely difficult. Because when it comes to the judgments by Ma'sumeen, they judge based upon wahy. They judge as Allah reveals to them, not looking at the witnesses and all that. Witnesses and all that, it's for you and me. Imam judges with that knowledge which is given to him, and that is by wahy, by revelation. So, tolerating the Imam is difficult. Judgments of the Imam are also, and we do find in Jawayah that people in the end of time, they would write to the Imam and tell him that go back, God forbid, to where you were. So these are those people who are not ready. So we have to be very careful, the place where we live in, the place where this wuzu is done, the place where this namaz is being offered, and if God forbid there is a place wherein this distribution of the property hasn't taken place correctly, don't go there. Don't do your wuzu there. Don't pray there. If you do that, you have to repeat it. That is us. So here, Imam says that we must not attach to these blessings, the possessions that we have in this dunya, neither must having the blessings make us proud, nor not having them bother us. If we don't have, doesn't matter. Or the teaching is, that is taught to us is that we have to be like a cashier at the bank. You go and tell him to give $500, he will give. You go and deposit $500,000, he will take and deposit. To him it doesn't make any difference. It's that same one person just doing all these transactions here and there. Also nowadays, they've come up with this money laundering. So, فَإِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا إِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا. So all the difficulties that we have in this dunya, it isn't as such that Allah will keep those difficulties, miseries and pains forever. says, "Inna ma'al usri yusra." After every difficulty, there is an ease. End of a dark tunnel, you see hope, you see light. The same thing is over here, that we shouldn't panic in these difficult situations that we come across in this life. That is, we have to be optimistic to Allah, and inshallah, we'll talk on that issue as well. So the bygones, Imam says, they are the guides for future generations. So many came, all departed, will we remain? We also will not. They went away, we also soon we will depart. Many lived a miserable life, but departed. One of the ulama of 1990s passed away in 1996, it was Rashid Najafi, among the Maharaj Taqleed. Lived for about a century in Qom. 50 years, the beauty of this island was that every morning before Fajr, he is the first person to enter the sacred shrine of Hazrat Masoom alayhi salam for 50 years. First person to enter. He reports this. At that time, a person called Sheikh al-Dashire, he lived, a very poor person, living a miserable life, had no home. In summer, he used to sleep behind the wall of the shrine of Hazrat Masoom's haram. In winter, there's a graveyard, a cemetery in Qom called Sheikhan. It's very close to the shrine of Hazrat Masoom. And in those days, there were small rooms around the cemetery. And in those rooms were graves of family graves. Now in winter, this sheikh, he wasn't a sheikh, people called him sheikh because he was a noble person. He used to sleep in those rooms in the cemetery and in the summer outside by the wall of the haram. His food sustenance was just bread with sometimes syrup made with sesame seeds and sometimes with syrup. So it's bread with sesame seeds, halwa, and this is what he used to eat. So sometimes he used to get all three of them, sometimes it's just the bread, sometimes it's only the sesame seed. Whatever he got, he ate, he thanked Allah, and he continued his life. One day, it so happens that it's winter, he's sleeping in that Sheikhan cemetery, in that room, and it had snowed heavily. The door behind the room, it got jammed with all that snow. He couldn't come out of that room. Nor was there anyone who could help him out of the room. It was time for his prayers. And in Qom, the construction is such that the walls, they are made of chalk. And chalk is something on which you cannot perform tayammum. There wasn't any water in the room. There wasn't any means to perform tayammum inside the room. And he couldn't even roll the carpet or perform the tayammum under the dust. So what he does is that, niyat of his prayer that day, he says that, "God, I live this life, which whatever you gave me, and I thanked you. You gave me just bread, I ate and I thanked you. You gave me bread with that syrup, it was sesame seed halwa, I ate that and I thanked you." Says, "Now I am offering these two rakat prayers of Fajr without any wuzu, without any tayammum, you accept." So he offers his prayers without any wuzu, without any tayammum. And the ruling is such that someone who is faqid al-tahurain, someone who doesn't find any water or any means for tayammum, he has to say his prayers just like that without wuzu and without tayammum. And the first opportunity he gets, he has to perform that taharat and repeat his prayer which he had done without that taharat. Now this person dies. Ayatullah Marashi, he says that, "I saw him after his burial. And I saw that he's been blessed with everything which is beyond imagination, beyond description. And when I said to him, I met him, 'What is all this? Allah has blessed you with a lot of these favors. Too much, we never thought you would be of this rank.' He says, "Most of what you see today here is as a result of the two rakat prayer which I offered without taharat. That was that khulus, that sincerity which he had, no one to see, no one to watch, and he offered his prayers in that way. So without having anything, he elevates to that great rank, that is in the hereafter. And many a times you find people drowned, lavish, riches. Best examples that we can quote over here are these three Tawuts who died, Saddam, and then you've got this Al-Mubarak, and then you've got this Gaddafi. Each one of them, billionaires. And the wealth that they say for this Al-Mubarak is plus $90 billion as personal asset. Now where did it go? All those riches which he had for 40, 50 years, with nothing he ends up. And what a defamation. And the other two are found from that manhole with all those billions which they possess. There's a qasida from our seventh Imam Kazim alayhi salatu wassalam. Imam says that Aynal Muluk wa Abna'ul Muluk. Because Imam initially said in that wasiyya that you have to inform your heart of the happenings in this world, how things are happening, how people come, how people depart. Look at those who lived in those riches and wealth and look at them, how they departed. Look at this example who lived in misery and how he ended up. So all these things have to constantly be informed to this heart. Imam says, Ayn al-Muluk wa Abna'ul Muluk. Where are these kings? Where are these rulers? Where are their sons? Where are those crowns which they used to wear? Where are those feasts, those foods, those lavish lifestyles which they had? All that they used to consume and eat, and now they have become a consumption themselves for those worms and those insects in the graves. Says that, look into these things and then كُلَّمَا نَتِجَتْ جُلُودُهُمْ بَدَّلْنَاهُمْ جُلُودًا غَيْرَهُمْ. And for these people who lived a life with such horror, with all these corruptions and sins, says in the hereafter they will have an eternal life in the hell. And it isn't as such that they will come to that point and die. No, says they will be burnt and burnt, the skin will be replaced. Once again they will come to a point when everything will be burnt, once again it will be replaced, and then this will continue forever. Salam. We talked about being optimistic with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and that we have to have a lot of hope in Allah Jalla Ba'ala. And an example was mentioned from Dua Joshan Kabir, and which is the word of Allah Himself. There Allah says, Ya Ni'mat Hasib, Ya Ni'mat Habib. Ni'm in Arabic means best. Hasib means someone who reckons, takes an account quickly, very swiftly from you. Says, the best of reckoners is Allah. The best of those who can cure you is Allah. Ya ni'mat tabib. Ya ni'mat raqib. That is someone who is on the watch out. The best of all those who can watch you is Allah. And one of the noble, he used to say that, why is Allah on the watch out? We talked about all these different ways as to how Allah will help out mu'mineen. Says, the name Raqib of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that He is on the watch out, He is watching us to help us out. The reason why He has sent 124,000 prophets to help us, it's that grace of Allah, that kindness of Allah that He shows. Ya ni'mal habib, the best of friends. No friend can be as close, as dear as Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is. It is said that the lover of a person died. He cried so much that he was hurting himself. Someone else from among his friends, he said that, why are you bleeding so much? He says, you don't know my lover, he died. And who was that lover of yours? Says this person. Says this person, if that was your lover, then you have to beat yourself much more harder. Because someone who you loved is he's got an expiration date, has expired. We have to love someone who has no expiration date, and that is Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Says, Ya ni'mal habib, the best of those who can be loved. Ya ni'mal kafil, ya ni'mal wakil, the best of those who we can rely on. On the eve of Mi'raj, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has a wish, says to Allah, Allah, there are many wrongdoers in my nation, and I don't want the sinners, the wrongdoers of my nation to be abased, to be ashamed, defamed before other nations. Allow me to take the charge and accountability of my nation myself. In reply, Allah says, your wish is granted, my beloved Habib, but I will not give the charge to you. I will keep the charge of accountability of your nation with myself, so that the wrongdoers of your nation, they are not ashamed before you too. That is the kindness and grace of Allah. And we say that Ya Ni'mal Habib, Ya Ni'mal Raqib, the best. When we used to, during the time of Ma'sumin, a few they used to come and confess the wrong they had done. On some incidents we find that Ma'sumin, they used to turn away their faces, although they are kind. But Allah, He is much more kind. He is kinder than even Ma'sumin. Another example, during the time of the Holy Prophet, Wahshi is this person who killed Hamza, Rasulullah's uncle. And then that ayah was revealed that if you repent, Allah, inna Allah yaghfiru dhunuba jami'a, Allah will forgive your sins, all of them. And then all the wrongdoers were informed of this ayah, that Rasulullah, an ayah has been revealed, that all those who have done wrong and have repented will be forgiven. They come to Rasulullah, they got themselves forgiven. Now Wahshi also has done a crime, and that is he has killed someone who is the dearest to the Prophet, his uncle Hamza. Sayyid al-Shuhada or Khayr al-Shuhada, Khayr al-Shuhada, as it says in that ziyarah, comes to Rasulullah, says that Ya Rasulullah, I heard this ayah has been revealed. He says yes. He says, the crime that I have committed, will that be forgiven? He says, yes, but go away from here. I don't want to see you. So although he has shown his kindness and grace to him, but Allah is much more kind, kinder than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. One of the other things we find in Quran is that when it comes to giving this account, it says, اقرأ كتابك كفى بنفسك اليوم عليك حسيبا. Allah says, we don't want anyone to mediate between the accounts. It says, you come, stand, and you confess. You give an account yourself and I will accept. So this is something we have to train from now as to how realistic we have to be when it comes to repentance, when it comes to attracting the mercy and the grace of Allah. We have to teach ourselves that we sit and repent. Say, Allah, this is all the wrong that we have done and you correct. There is a hadith in Mahajjat al-Bayda, a beautiful book. An Arab, he comes to Rasulullah and says, Ya Rasulullah, on the day of judgment, who will check the accounts? Who will take the accounts? Rasulullah said that it is Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala who will take the accounts. He got happy and he went. Someone else saw him, that this person, he is so happy. He says, why are you so happy? He says that I found out today that on the day of judgment, Allah will take the account of ours. He will do the check. Because He is God, He is able, He is Qadir, and He can forgive us. I am happy because this account checking is not being given to any one of His creations. Before Allah, there is no defamation. That is, Ya Ni'mal Hasib, the best of those who can take the account. So we have to be optimistic when it comes to Allah. Someone said that He is on the watch out. That is, we put this ayah, Inna Rabbaka Labil Mirsad. That is, Allah is on the watch out. That is, Allah is on the watch out to help us. Allah is that kind. Sometimes we find that Allah Jalla wa'ala, He lays different traps to attract us, to catch us. Sometimes He uses needles and spears. Needles and spears are being mentioned over here metaphorically. That is, sometimes He afflicts someone with some type of pain, so that he is caught, he comes to Allah. Now children, you've seen that if they are hurt, they come to the mother, to the father, they start crying. Multiply that by infinity, when we get hurt, we come to Allah. But this shouldn't be as such that in that American way that we hire and fire God whenever we want. It should be as said that whenever we want Him, we should come to Him in every situation. Whether we are happy, whether we are sad. In both situations, not that only when we are in need, we come to Him. And when that need is gone, gone. That is that. Sometimes Allah, He has waves and vibes to attract some of His people. And that is those middle class mu'mineen. Sometimes He has traps. Now how does all this work? To the middle class, what He does is that He sends a friend, a person who can help you out, who can teach you. He might be better off than you, stronger than you, in iman, in amal, in actions. And that friend of yours will help you out. There might be many flaws, many defects in me. Through that friend, I will be guided. So that is how Allah sends. Or this majlis held over here. This too is one of those traps which is laid by Allah for guidance. So that we elevate, we learn, and that ma'rifah enhances. A mentor, a teacher, a majlis, all these are special graces of Allah that are created. Now in brackets, now that something has started over here, which is Alhamdulillah Mubarak. And there are many occasions throughout the year that need to be observed. With an excuse that how will happen, will it happen or will it not happen, whether the organizers are there to conduct it or not, all these are lame excuses. Something which has started, it will continue. That is, because it's connected to Allah, وَيَبْقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ. Whatever is connected to Allah, that will endure. Sometimes what he has got waves. Waves and vibes that Allah inspires an individual, and the inner call of this person, it gets connected or it gets that communication from Allah. Or to understand that, it's exactly like this remote access we have. Sometimes you get stuck, you can't find a solution for your computer. You call that company and they take a remote access, get into your system and they can fix it. Sometimes Allah works in that way, that He inspires an individual, that is, He sends those waves to that person, and that way He guides. Ya ni'mal raqib, ya ni'mal qareeb. That is how He is so close. We find that qareeb means He is so close to us, so near to us, much nearer and closer to us than our own jugular veins. Quran says that don't cross the limits of Allah. There has to be those limits that have been designed by Allah, those do's and don'ts. Says you stay within those limits, don't cross them. Rasulullah did not cross those limits, you also don't cross those limits. When you don't cross those limits and stay within the bounds of deen, you will find prosperity, salvation. And that is being optimistic to Allah Jalla Rabbah. Now one of the phrases that we have in Dua Kumail, Marhum Qazi Tabatabai and Karbalaheen, when they used to recite Dua Kumail a lot. And when they used to come to this phrase, La yumkinul firar min hukumatik, beyond that they could not continue with the Dua. La yumkinul firar min hukumatik, that it is not possible to flee away from your rule, especially in the hereafter. The rule of Allah in the hereafter is much more evident. Now in this dunya we can run away, but in the akhirah it is impossible to run away. We cannot find any place or anything or anyone which doesn't have that hold, that movement of Allah. Allah moves everything. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. As we say, that whatever movement we find in anything, it is from Allah. May that be in this dunya, may that be in the hereafter. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala help us in understanding these great sayings. And this optimism that we have in Allah tabarak wa ta'ala may be as such that it increases day by day. Marhum Ajallahu Bahajati used to say that I don't prescribe any zikr, any recital to anyone. People they come to ulama and they say that, is there any zikr, any recital that you would say I repeat a lot? He says that I never prescribe any recital, any zikr to anyone. Because everyone, based upon his capacity, Allah inspires him. And that zikr, that recital automatically is uttered by that individual. That is that kindness and grace of Allah. For example, someone who sins, who has done wrong, and there is no one between him and Allah, his tongue says by default, Astaghfirullah, God forgive me. That God forgive me, that istighfar which was uttered by the person who did wrong, was inspired to by Allah. So Allah makes that person recite that recital. Now this too is based upon whatever recital is needed, that is automatically downloaded to that individual. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala help us in understanding these great sayings. And in these nights of the sacred month of Ramadan, may the Imam of time be pleased with each one of us. May Allah hasten in his return and count us among his true servants and supporters and those who seek shahadat in his service. Allahumma ajjal li faraji mawlana sahib al-zaman.